will be in the new year. And just thank him for his sustenance and his grace thus far in this year and in the year 2023. This morning we will be looking at 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. Now we will read from verse 1 to verse 14. If you are there, I'm reading from the New King James Version. The Bible reads as follows. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. Now I'll come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I do also. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. Verse 12. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for how you've been pleased to speak to us thus far. We seek your face again, O Lord, that you'll be pleased to cause us to listen from you and from your word particularly, that will be ministered to this morning, to the praise and glory and honor of your name, even through Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This morning, I wish to speak to us from verse 13 and verse 14. Verse 13 and verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And those verses read, watch, stand fast in the faith, and be brave, be strong. Verse 14, let all that you do be done with love. This year has begun, and we've said bye a week ago to the year 2023. It is a time, as usual, for the believer and unbeliever alike to think through what had happened last year, where we failed the Lord, where we did good, and just begin to reflect and make resolutions for this year. But it is very important as Christians we have a personal reflection because we are the called of the Lord. And so we need to bear in mind that as we live, it is because the Lord has enabled us to live. But suffice to say that we live in a world that is demanding every share of our lives, literally about everything that we do. And therefore, this calls us to live close to the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul deals with a number of issues. Now, what I seek to do is simply give an overview of this book, 1 Corinthians, the whole book. I'll give an overview, and then we'll delve into verses 13 and 16. So, this book was written by the Apostle Paul, and at this time, when he's writing this whole text of 1 Corinthians, he's not at all in Corinth. He's across the Mediterranean Sea on the other side of the sea in Ephesus. So Corinth was on the left side, Ephesus was on the other side of the sea, and so the Apostle Paul is writing across the sea. And what has happened is that in between he writes this book, he's already been in contact with his church to deal with issues. And one of the issues is what we find in chapter 5, the issue of the immoral brother and the immorality in the church at Corinth. So he's written that message before he compiles the whole of 1 Corinthians. And so as he stays across the sea, he receives information from Chloe's family. Chloe was one of the members of the church at Corinth, and so he sends word to Apostle Paul and tells him what is happening. But apart from that, the leaders of Corinth also send a letter with various issues and how they should handle them. And so this book or this letter is a response to the information from Chloe's family and also a letter from the leaders of the church at Corinth asking him to help out on how the church should move and live. And so we see that Corinth was set up in the Roman Empire, which was generally pagan speaking. And so when you bring in the church at Corinth, you are bringing in a church that is at clash between the gospel and pagan worship. And so this church was planted in that area where there was a pagan worship. And the Apostle Paul, in having to plant this church, his mind was the gospel will have a greater influence on the unbelieving populace or population around this area. And so this church was put, and then he was with them for some time, and then he departs to go to Ephesus across the sea. So as he plants this church was small, and in it we see a number of issues that I was able to elaborate in phases of chapters. I've simply summarized chapters to just give us a glimpse of what was obtaining at Corinth. And so we see in chapter 1 to chapter 4, essentially that the church had allowed worldly wisdom and divisions in church. You recall in chapter 1, when they are arguing on the giftings of Apollos, Cephas, or Peter, of Paul himself and of Jesus Christ. So there are these groupings saying, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter or Cephas, I'm of Christ, and I'm of Jesus Christ. Now, this is from one church. We can picture Crossway Baptist Church having these small groups, you know, causing divisions, and they are saying, look, we of the Apollos group are the best that understand the scriptures better. You of Jesus and of Paul and of Cephas don't just know what you're talking about. So that was the situation at Corinth. So we see that in chapters 1 to 4. The Apostle Paul comes in to give them the wisdom of God and how that the church should be governed as such based on the wisdom of God. In chapters 5 to 7, he deals with matters of sexual immorality. I've already talked about the immoral brother in chapter 5. He goes on to look at sex and marriage. I think we've been looking at that with our brother, Mr. Sinyangwe, particularly in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. In chapters 8 to 10, he deals with food offered to idols. Now, I need to explain something here. Corinth was set up in a church that was pagan worshipping. And so they worshipped idols. In the process, the Lord saves some, brings them in the kingdom of God. Now, you notice that some have not given up eating food offered to idols. Now, that stumbled other believers. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, well, look, there's really nothing wrong for you to eat that food, because as a Christian, it amounts to nothing. You know, you are of God, you are saved, but don't stumble your brother. Okay, because others just do it anyhow and then grieve at the body of believers. And so that is what we see dealt with in chapters 8 to 10. In chapters 11 to 14, he deals with worldly behavior. And this is to do with the Lord's Supper, how that, other people would not come fed from their homes, and they would kind of, be feeding and getting excess of the emblems to feed themselves. And so again, the Apostle Paul gives a rebuke, say, brethren, don't you have homes where you should have ate, so that when we come here, we are commemorating the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul gives counsel in that regard. In other words, they should have been order in worship. So this behavior in church caused disorderliness. He also deals with issues of tongues and so on and so forth. In chapter 15, the Apostle Paul deals with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because amongst some of the believers did not believe in the resurrection of Christ. Remember, from the book of Acts, we learn that there was controversy whereby the Gentile believers were being caused to be circumcised by a particular section of the church. And so Apostle Paul and Barnabas were given responsibility to move in and resolve this issue. So you can see in totality that the church at Corinth was kind of chaotic, embroidered in a lot of issues. And the Apostle Paul writes this letter to just kind of give direction and guidance of how church ought to be done through Christ and through his word. Now, when we come to verse 13 and 14, we can now understand what he's saying. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. So he's speaking from this general context, how that this church is a problem church. There are a lot of issues in this church, and so he's telling them, brethren, watch. Stand fast, stand firm in the faith, be brave, be strong, and do all that you do in love. We've already seen that some of these things that the brethren did here were not in love. For example, eating food offered to idols, you are stumbling your brother, your sister. Fine, Galatians 5 talks about Christian liberty. But then, even in our liberty, there should be caution that we do not stumble the brother that is next to us. And so the Apostle Paul gives this encouragement to the believers at Corinth. Perhaps a point of reflection for us, even as we, before we delve further into this text here, is that this year, this church has a theme, and the theme is, it is a year of increased service for my Savior. Now notice, or here, for my Savior. Why my Savior? It is an individual as me, Alfred, standing here. What will I do for the Lord in this year? And collectively as a body of believers at Crosswell. So it is a year of increased service for my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in here, basically we are saying we need to engage our heads. How? Be knowledgeable in the scriptures. Read the scriptures, know them, and that will help us to be of good service to the Lord. Engage our hearts. How? That which we read should be able to work in our hearts and be able to flow to the believers here at Crossway. And thirdly, we need to engage our hands. How? We should not be just be people filled with scriptures, We should be people seen to work, putting the hands to the plow, as it were. In other words, there are ministries at this church. There's evangelism to be done. And so let us be of service to the Lord. So we need to increase that service. If we didn't, now this is a personal reflection, we need to search ourselves. If we didn't last year do as much for the Lord, we are saying this year, let us increase that tempo, that speed, that measure of service that we did for the Lord. So much so that we can do more for this church at Crossway, even through the grace that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here in verse 18, he says, stand fast, be brave, and be strong. This shows that by this phrase, that you see, we lead a life as believers, a life that is constantly under battle with the evil one. And so we need not drop our guard, as it were. We need to be a people always fighting so that we're able to stand, be strong, and be watchful, as it were. We should not at any one point lose our guard. If we lose our guard, we're simply giving way to the devil. I know that as Baptists, we speak less of the devil. But I need to register in our hearing this morning that the devil is real, much as we don't talk about him. He is real. And the Bible records he does prowl around to see that whom he can devour. So we should not be a target, much as we'll be a target for the devil. Yes, we should be able to withstand, because the Bible says no temptation has seized you apart from that which is common to man. And so the Lord has given us the ability and the way out of every temptation. And that can only be if we are watching, being strong and standing firm in the faith. So for our first point, Christians must be on guard and stand firm in the faith. Christians must be on guard and stand firm in the faith. The Apostle Paul, like I've said, gives an encouragement to the church at Corinth in his closing remarks, as he puts down chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. The NIV says, be on your guard. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Now we need to ask, what is to be on guard? It is to ensure that all that has been given, we simply watch our life. Okay, watching our lives, meaning that is around us, we guard it, so to say, jealously, so much so that nothing goes wrong. Okay? In other words, we need to watch, like my Bible says there, watch. Okay? To watch, meaning that if I'm given a responsibility to say guard these premises, there should be no time at which I should close my eyes because I'm feeling tired. I've been charged to be on guard for 5-6 hours, and so I should be alert. Who is straying in these premises, wanting to do wrong to these premises or anything around here? That is what the Apostle Paul is saying. We should be on guard. So meaning, our Christian lives should be such that we should be on guard at all times and not lose a focus. Okay? Then he talks about being firm. Okay, what is being firm? Being firm, it means being fixed or immovable. We should not be shaken. Now, there are a lot of things that can shake us. We live in a very volatile environment, and things will simply be swinging left, right, and center, trying to get our attention and attraction. He is saying, be firm. Do not be moved. Stand firm in the faith. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, but to read verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 2, in short, is saying, do not compromise. Be firm. Stand fixed. Be immovable. So as a Christian, we simply should be doing what we are told in Romans 12, verse 2. This is because the one who has called us is holy. Therefore, be holy in all manner of living, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. In other words, we need to watch our faith. Our faith should not be shaken. We must not give in to the temptations of the devil, the incitings of the flesh and the world. We must stick on to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is all. But then, how can a Christian watch or guard or stand firm in the faith? A believer must always and constantly watch their commitment to God. We should stand firm in the midst of challenges which will come our way, whether we like it or not. How do we do this? We should be reading the word, meditating on it, and be constant in prayer. We see the Lord Jesus Christ doing this before his crucifixion. He tells his disciples, watch with me because my soul is troubled. Remember, he is coming to a stage where he's been accused of being God. He was God, of course. The accusers thought he was an impostor, so this man should be crucified because he's blasphemed God. And so he knows what is coming before him, and he asked the disciples to watch with him. Watching with him, meaning they should pray with him. And so when he begins to pray, the disciples sleep. Let's just look at that text. Matthew 26. From verse 38 to 40, Matthew 26, 38 to 40. The Bible says, then, Matthew 26, verse 38, then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his knees and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? That is the point. We should not be sleeping like the disciples. When we sleep, we know what will happen. The devil simply takes advantage of our lives and he leads us into sin. And so we need to put on the full armor of God that we may be able to withstand against the wiles or the schemes of the evil ones. Ephesians 6, verse 11. And so the Apostle Paul here concludes this letter to the church at Corinth, encouraging them to watch because the devil prowls around to see whom he can devour. And at this stage, when the Apostle Paul is writing, the church has already been infiltrated by the devil, looking at the many problems that had affected this church. Now, a Christian life should be one that is watchful at all times. The devil, the world, the flesh, the attractions target us as Christians. Therefore, we must be watchful so that we avoid falling into these temptations and be the salt and the light of the world, as the Lord Jesus Christ had shown by praying to his Father even before the crucifixion. Let's look at what it is that we should watch or stand fame against. There are so many examples, but I have three here that may just help us to just appreciate. Number one is the devil. When we do not watch or stand firm, meaning when you are not in prayer and reading the Bible practically, the devil tempts us. He begins to manipulate us. In other words, he begins to whisper to us, to say, do A, B, C, because the benefits thereof are good, and you benefit, you become this and the other, you enjoy this and the other. Now, if we are not reading the scriptures, it is very easy to fall into that, to hear the devil as he whispers to us and do those things and eventually fall into sin. This is what the Apostle Paul warned the Christian believers at Corinth, that they should stand firm, they should watch and guard their faith. Secondly, we should not bring worldly wisdom or knowledge in church. We see, and we've seen in the book of Corinthians, that there was syncretism. Syncretism simply segregation or formation of smaller groups. Some of Apollo, some of Paul, some of Jesus, and some of Cephas. We should not create those small groups within us. You know, these come from McKinney East, McKinney North, McKinney, and whatever. We shouldn't, brethren. We are one body of believers under Christ. And so whoever we are, whatever we are, let's remember, we are what we are by the message of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10, I am what I am by the grace of God. And so there's nothing to us that should cause us to move and start creating groupings in this church. It simply brings the work of the Lord backwards and will not be of service to the Lord even this year. And so we need to watch that we be a people that do not fall into that. Sometimes it is just the despising of preachers. Like I stand here, that guy is boring, you know, he sends me to sleep. I won't come for the morning service. But let me tell you something. Did you know that C.H. Spurgeon got saved through a preacher? Well, he wasn't even a preacher. What happened that morning is that the preacher didn't show up. And so the congregation just picked a brother, say, brother, can stand in and help. And this man simply went to Isaiah 45, verse 22 to 25. And, you know, he kept on hammering on one sentence. Look unto me, ye, and be saved. Look unto me, ye, and be saved. At the end of that sermon, C.H. Spurgeon, aged 15, 16 years that time, he was convicted of heart and got saved. And we know the works that Spurgeon has left us. Now, what I'm saying is that there are those of us who have a tendency to, of course, you can group us in whatever categories. There's nothing wrong, brethren. But let's still come and listen, because ultimately, we are simply servants of the Lord, sent and appointed to come and bring the herald, the good news, to the congregation. And so to despise the person is wrong. Come, and even if you despise me, come for the sake of the gospel. Listen to what I'm saying. You might despise me as a person, but listen to the gospel. And so we shouldn't develop that habit where we begin, I will not go to church because the preacher, no, I can't listen to that guy. Of course, we should qualify the not going. Is he heretical? You know, does he, you know, flip the Bible upside down, talking wrong things, of course, in that manner, you'll be justified. But, well, if he's exegeting, you know, explaining and expounding the scriptures right, please do come. In other words, worldly wisdom should not be imported in church. The way we do in the corporate world out there, the way we do in the companies, we should not bring those theories here. This is a church, and the church is governed by the scriptures. Of course, at some levels, we might, you know, get one or two things to incorporate, you know, the way we run ministries, if it is helpful and not in conflict with scripture. But overall, the Bible should lead us, that we get the wisdom direction from the scriptures. Thirdly, the world and its attraction. Now, this one is really, really a challenge. We've got social media, we've got television, we've got other media platforms, there's football, name it. Some of us are just glued to ball, just ball. Okay, I know that Multi Choice doesn't have rights this year to broadcast the AFCON. But on the other side, I think the government has paid and they've asked them to open the channel so that you know, Zambians love ball and they can watch ball. And others, some people will not come to church if Zambia is playing on a Sunday. So they will choose to sit before a television set and just watch bola and God they bank and toilet paper. You know, guy God listens at any time, so at any time I can pray. Brethren, that is wrong. I mean, I've seen people way back in Livingstone. You are in church, the guy is with the phone on the laps, he's watching the World Cup. When it was in Korea, I'm saying, my goodness. You know, God, forgive you, brother. Okay, now, such attitude, brethren, is wrong. We should not be such. Now, you know why? It's because we are not watching, we are not standing firm in the faith. That the devil simply tells us, okay, there's nothing wrong with football, absolutely nothing wrong. But you see, if football is going to conflict with the worship of my God, it becomes a problem. And so we need to watch against these dangers. And so, you know, we live in a world that gives these attractions, a world that is battling, the devil that is battling against us. And so we need to be firm and stand fast in the word of God. So a believer's life must be consistent with the Bible. In other words, you cannot be a believer today or practice or show signs of being a Christian today and tomorrow you are even folded sleeves, you are shouting the whole compound around. I mean, if somebody passed and just saw you say, am I seeing right? Is that the same guy who was preaching that is standing like that and shouting at people? We need to be consistent. The way I behave here should be the way I behave in my home, should be how I behave wherever the Lord has placed me to be. And so there should be that consistency. So in other words, we need to be people that are constantly watching. Why? It's because 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 tells us. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Okay, now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, we see the description just of who we are. He says there, verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so, there should be no vulgar language. There should be no getting upset, you know, to a point where I begin to behave like an unbeliever. And then when he asks, I know, sorry, sister, I just lost it. Lost what? Where is the grace of God? We are special people, chosen generation. And so we need to be consistent in our Christian character. So we need to spend time reading the Bible, meditating on his word, spending time on prayer. And by this way, we'll grow in grace, we'll be sanctified as we spend time with the Lord. Secondly, Christians must be brave and strong. Christians must be brave and strong. 1 Corinthians 16, at the latter part of verse 13. Christians must be brave and strong. The Apostle Paul encourages the church of Corinth here to be brave and strong. In other words, to remain faithful. As we've seen already, the Corinthian church had been affected by many issues and some had compromised the faith. In the midst of this, Jesus Christ remained as the only hope, even as is our only hope in such a situation now. And so we need to be brave and strong. The Corinthian church operated in a pagan environment, and therefore the gospel was kind of being shrouded by this environment, coupled with the compromise of the members of the church themselves. The members didn't wait upon the Lord. Waiting upon the Lord simply meaning we are not constant in prayer. We are not reading the scriptures. And so all these things were happening as we saw in the opening many issues across, you know, the church. You feel pity when you read through the account of 1 Corinthians, just the many things one after the other. And we can do a lot to learn from that book, because not that, you know, we are any special, the church now is any special than the church now, it's more or less the same, brethren. And we'll do a lot if we have issues in the church to simply turn to 1 Corinthians, and we'll see that what we face has been faced before, and there's a solution to it, the scriptures. Now, the Bible here says, be brave, be strong. Why should we be brave? The ESV says, act like men. Okay, act like men. Why should it be so? Because it's so easy to compromise. It's so easy to abandon a mission for God because we do not have the courage and we are not brave enough. Just take the issue of evangelism. It sounds very easy to, like, go out and witness. It only dawns on us when we meet people that are opposed to the gospel, people that want not to have anything to do with the gospel. Then, we realize, this is a tough work. There are people who tell us in our faces that they don't believe in God and they don't care what happens. How do you handle such a situation? Do you simply follow the scriptures and say, "Siko motaenda"? No, brethren. You put up the courage. You try to convince such a fellow, because you know that in their argument, which is a foolish argument, they'll end up in hell. And so we have a responsibility to show them the love of God, even in their arrogance and antagonism to the gospel. So we put up this courage, okay? And as we do so, expect that they'll be even more vigor in their response to us, because they want to convince us that they know better than we do. But you see, the Bible says the word of God is foolishness to those that are perishing, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so we know, because we've been saved, that the word of God is the power of God. And so we need to persist. How do we persist? We need to be brave. Bravery has to be put on. We don't just close the Bibles and say, they don't want to listen. No, let's try to be persuasive. Sometimes you find scenarios where this man is about to close his gate or the doors to his house, and he tells you, "I'm going somewhere, I have an appointment, don't disturb me." What do you do in such a case? You ask for 5 minutes. 5 minutes, brethren, to share the gospel. How? I'll show you. Man is a sinner. How? Genesis 3. Adam and Eve sinned. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the grace of God is found in Christ Jesus. Revelations 20:11-15. And the books are opened. You've done it. 5 minutes. Done, dusted. And pray. 5 minutes. So we should not easily be cowardly in our approach to the gospel. Let's be firm, let's be brave, and simply show the love of God even to unbelievers. We need to show this love of God to unbelievers, even as we do so. So we need to be people that are brave and simply conquering the world for the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But then, how do we gain this bravery? How do we become strong in the faith? Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Ephesians 6:10-11 says, "Be strong in the Lord, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the attacks of the devil." And so, we are being pointed that, you see, for us to have strength, to have the bravery to conquer the world for the Lord, it is simply not anything else but the scriptures. It is not physical strength that the Apostle Paul is talking about here. It is spiritual strength. Of course, on the other side, you can exercise and do whatever to just keep your body health. That's fine. But in this context, we need to be brave and strong. And that comes from feeding upon the Word of God. When we close the Bible, we close the Scriptures, I can assure us, it's not a debatable matter. We simply fall and fall flat. Nothing for the Lord. And so even when we are saying an increased service for the Lord, it won't just happen. It won't happen. How? Because we've abandoned the Scriptures, the basis where we get the grace of God. And so I'm saying, brethren, that we need to be a people that are growing, that are stable in the faith, and that will be able to withstand the attacks of the evil one. Now, two examples here will suffice. In Daniel 6, 1 to 10, and also in Daniel 3, verse 4 to 6, we see in the first account in Daniel 6, 1 to 10, an account of Daniel himself, when the friends, because Daniel was now put higher up there in authority, and the non-Jews were not too happy that this guy has been promoted. And so they enticed the king to create an idol, and that idol should be worshipped too at a particular time. And that whoever will not worship that idol will be dealt with. Daniel prays to God, the Bible tells us, three times in a day. And he resolves in his heart that I will not bow down to that idol because I worship the true and living God of heaven. Eventually, Daniel is thrown in the den of lions. We know the story. I don't need to go to that length. He was saved by the Lord. Not too long from that, his colleagues, Shadrach, Abednego, and Meshach, more or less the same thing happens, and they are told you'll be thrown in the dungeon, in a burning furnace, and they say, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, do what you will, but will not bow down to worship an idol. And when they are thrown in, what do we see? Not one hair was bent. Now, that is standing firm. That is being brave and strong in the faith. So we need to have that kind of courage and faith to stand up to whoever it is that we need to stand up to. It could be at work. Maybe your boss is vulgar and so on and so forth. Of course, you know, it's quite tricky because, well, he is your boss. You cannot kind of, you know, talk to them in public. Find time to just sit down and say, but boss, it's not good. It's not good. I'm a Christian, and come out and say, you know, peradventure and by God's grace, they will begin to respect your faith and try to tone down in their language. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, be brave, be strong. And this could go on in multiplication in terms of areas where we can apply the bravery and the strength that we need as believers. And so, even when we go to evangelize, of course, we should not go with the pompousness to say, yeah, now I'm brave and strong, so now they will actually hear the theology from me. God has not called us to be pompous and proud. God has called us to be humble. Humble like the Lord Jesus Christ, who left the heavens, the span of the heaven, and came and died here on earth. We should take a leaf from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in Philippians 2, he says, all knees shall bow down and say, he is Lord. That kind of humility, you need to be humble. So we are not going to evangelize, you know, fighting battles with the SDS, JW, you know, JWs and so on. No, no, no. We are going to show the love of God as shown in the law, in our Lord and Savior, even Jesus Christ. And so the knowledge that we have, especially as Reformed Baptists, the Lord has really graced us with so much biblical knowledge, and that knowledge should not be the one that we use to fight the Pentecostals. No, brethren. If there's an argument with the Pentecostals, let's resolve it in love, biblically so. And so, we need to be a people that, with that kind of attitude towards others. Now, again, talking about bravery, on my left here, those who can see, there's a building, that's a Muslim building, a boys' school. Okay? Right on our doorstep. Now, as we think about increased service for the Lord, one of the issues that we need to be battling down as individuals battling with as individuals. How do we reach out for non-believers in the midst of these guys? Mind you, they bring in young boys, free education, literally everything free, free, free. So the attraction is immense. What do we go with when you go to preach the gospel? The Bible. And they'll tell you, it is not your Bible. How do you respond to such a challenge? These are matters that you need to be thinking through. How do we counter these guys that have come next door to us? They are Muslims. Right on our doorsteps. We've got a challenge. And so it should give us food for thought to say, how, oh Lord, do we counter this by or through the gospel? That is our homework, really. Pastor Stula, during the Agape annual meal, gave a challenge of us planting a church in the next 5 years. My mind has been battling, saying even less than that. I mean, really, people are perishing every day. So can we be looking around and just see where can we plant a small way, can we begin and move on? Because the harvest is plentiful and we need to just move in as Crossway Baptist Church, you know, by bravery and strength that comes from the Lord, move and, you know, find a church somewhere, a place somewhere you can plant in a church and move, as it were, to work for the Lord. Thirdly, verse 14, let all that you do be done with love. Let all that you do be done with love. Perhaps here it would be important to define what kind of love the Apostle Paul is talking about. This is the agape love, the charity. It is not a self-pleasing and self-seeking love. It is a love that goes out to seek others. It is a love that goes out to seek Christians and non-Christians alike. It is a love that looks for opportunity to do good, especially to the household of God. That's what the Bible tells us. If you are going to do good, especially the household of God, meaning if there is a job opportunity and your company is employing, think through your church or other believers, which of the believers is just sitting at home with qualifications and credentials. You pick up the phone and say, brother, sister, there's an opportunity here. Can you push in your application letter? We are a chosen generation, remember? A holy priesthood, chosen by Christ. And so let's keep this household of faith and do good to believers. Let's first of all give brethren chance and opportunity to try out. If they fail, then we can go to the audience. So this is the love that we see here. Okay, so let's do all that we do in love. And so the Apostle Paul, having now talked about being watchful, standing fast, or firm in the faith, being strong and brave, he now closes this exhortation or encouragement to the Corinthian church, and he says, let all that you do be done in love. Now, this love must be exercised towards one another as believers and also towards unbelievers. We need to be filled with this love. Now, when I say filled, it means we need to have compassion and kindness towards others. We need to have the mind of Christ, who loved us before we loved him. We are the workmanship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ has created works for us, each one, before we came to be. Ephesians 2 verse 10, maybe you can turn to that text. Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And that's where the love comes in, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So there's already works for us. And so we should not be asking, what can I do? All we need to do is to pray, and the Lord will open our minds to show us where there is need and move in and fulfill that particular need. And so we need to live glorifying God, as we are told in the Shorter Catechism, question 1, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to please God and enjoy him forever. We should not be main pleasers, people who just want to gratify, you know, feel good as self. No. We should make other people, you know, feel comfortable, show them the love of God as the scriptures are telling us. And so, previously we lived for ourselves as non-believers, but having been called by God, having been saved by God, we are to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are to follow the way of Jesus Christ, how that he loved us before we loved him. This is how come that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you and I could have the salvation that we enjoy even right now. And so, having told the Corinthian church to be watchful, to stand firm, and be brave in the faith, the Apostle Paul concludes saying, do all that you do with love. In other words, we should not be arrogant people. We should not be proud people, because then we believe we are standing firm, we are strong, and so we should be arrogant and be proud. No. We are to be humble as the Lord Jesus Christ was humble. And so when we see a saint who is struggling, when we see a non-believer who is struggling, we need to show love. How? For a believer, we need to ask them, brother, sister, what is troubling you? I noticed that, you know, of late you've not been coming to church. You know, your face just looks miserable. What is troubling you? Okay? We sit down and give counsel. If it is material things, we help. Same with the non-believers. We cannot close our eyes with the non-believers. Those live in our midst. And so we need to just help where we can help, and that gives us an opportunity to evangelize, to show the love of God even through those acts. In conclusion, I'm asking this question to everyone who is a believer and also myself, and the question is, what did we do last year, 2023, to watch, to keep the faith, to be brave, and be strong? What did we do for the Lord? How did we engage in ministry? How did we engage in evangelism? It is a situation that calls for personal assessment. When the church called for evangelism last year, what was in your mind? What did you decide to do? Did you just say, let it pass, because the church, you know, there are many people, they will go and evangelize even if I don't go? We need to simply search ourselves so that this year, it is a year of increased service for the Lord, so that we can do more than we did last year and do better for the glory of the Lord. Did you watch last year? Did you maintain your faith? Or how did this watching and being brave help you to be sustained as a Christian? Were you able to face and handle the various challenges that we've looked through this morning and many others that I could not have mentioned this morning because you are watchful, you are brave, and kept the faith? This again calls for personal reflection even as we begin this year, so that we are able to increase the service of the Lord. Because increased service of the Lord, I can assure us, will not come in as far as we are not spending time meditating on the scriptures as well as praying that the Lord may show us wherein we should work. For the non-believer, for you, unfortunately, it is business as usual. You celebrated Christmas, followed by New Year. I suppose you enjoyed it. And so you're looking forward for another Christmas this year, and perhaps another New Year next year. And let me tell you this, much as you might be planning those cycles, your life and my life are not in our hands. This morning in the discipleship class, we're learning how that the Lord created Adam. And he created him without sin, and when they sinned, he tells Adam and Eve, "For dust you are, and to dust you shall return," Genesis 3:19, meaning death now had come because man had disobeyed God. And so because of that disobedience, death will inevitably come. No matter who you are, no matter how rich, how poor you are, death, one way or the other, will come. It is the way that God has purposed for us to exit this earth. And the question I'm posing to you is that, are you comfortable with the coming to this church Sunday after Sunday to a point where you feel, well, at least now almost everyone knows me in that church, and so I think I'm part of those who go to heaven? I can safely tell you, no, you are not part of the believers. Becoming a Christian is through repentance by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And anything else that you do outside repentance and having faith in Christ to be the one that died for you, the one that have access to the Father, the one that has interceded and intercedes for sinful man and God, you are headed to hell. You are headed to hell. And so God is giving you an opportunity right now, even as you breathe, because once you die, you cannot be saved in death like other churches want us to believe, that they can pray for the dead in the grave and they will be saved. There is nothing of the sort. The Bible doesn't speak about such. The opportunity you have to become a Christian is now. And so I plead with you this morning that you consider your life, that you are living in disobedience. No matter how good you may be, just bear in mind that that is disobedience, because those righteous acts are like filthy rags, chikolo pelo, okay, to put it that way, okay? So you've tamed your good acts and think, well, you know, I'm better than that drunkard, that prostitute I see. No, 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 my brother, my sister, you are just the same before God. And you'll be shocked if you don't repent that you find yourself in hell together with those people that you yourself condemned. And so you have an opportunity. The opportunity is now, as you listen to the gospel, that you may see your sins as sins before God, a God who's holy and righteous, a God who is just. Others argue, but how can God, burn so many billions of people? Are you God? Are we in the position of God? He is sovereign. He is independent. And he decides with us what he decides. So it is not for you and me to say, no, but how can he punish so many people? He will punish, I can assure you. So instead of going into those kinds of arguments, simply to the cross you should cling. Simply to the cross you should go and humble yourself in faith and repentance. And then you'll be able to watch, to stand firm in the faith, to be brave, and be strong and do all things in love. Amen.